If you have come into this church and you have known the Holy Spirit here, if He has lit you up with the gospel, if He has come into your heart and He has pruned things in your life that you didn't even realize were dead, so that no new life sprang from that spot in your heart, if that has happened in this church, and I know that it has, if you have come here and you have known better the tenderness and the compassion of your God, so that you go out into your life with more peace and more confidence. And I call on them now.
The following is a sermon in a sermon series called My Truth from Jonathan Borman and Peace Lutheran, a church located in downtown Aiken, South Carolina. For more information and for more audio content, go to peaceinaiken.com.
Well, I got a text message yesterday morning, and I opened it up and I saw a dead deer. And somebody said, "Come on over, I want you to have some venison." And I woke up this morning and I had 4 phone calls that I had missed and couple Facebook messages. And all these people, like people. And I want to start out this sermon telling you this, so I probably don't tell you enough. I love you. I love being your pastor. I love it that you call me. I love it that you text me, even if it's a dead deer. So that's community, right? It's real community. So we love each other. We care about each other. Some of you who are new here, you're going to figure that out about us. We care about each other. And if you'll let us, we'll care about you. There's 2 things that can destroy that at a church. Destroy what we have as a church. Paul's going to talk about both here in just a second. Number one, you don't have a church if you don't have the truth. Right? Why do you do church if you don't have truth? The church is for the truth. But you wreck the truth and you don't allow people to have the truth if you don't love each other. So there's no space for it then, right? It's like it takes all the oxygen out of the room and people don't want to even be here. That's the problem that the Apostle Paul is going to try to get ahead of today. By the way, I'm not preaching this sermon because I think you need it. I'm going to preach this sermon today because I don't want you to ever need it. You know, it's like inoculation so we don't become this church that Paul is talking about. This is a reading from Philippians chapter 2. Again, you got 2 problems that a Christian church can experience. 1, you don't have the truth, or you don't stand up for the truth when people oppose you. Number 2, when you don't love each other and give space to the truth. Whatever happens, Paul writes, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. See, there's your first problem that can happen to church if you don't stand up to those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Now we're going to transition. This is what we're going to focus on today. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Think of how beautiful this is. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is God's word. Maybe you caught it, but Paul's big command there was, make my joy complete. Paul, their pastor, said, make my joy complete. And I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't tell you that that really moves me. I suppose I should tell you a little bit more. You know, being a pastor is not a job. It's not a job. It's not a job any more than being a dad is a job or being a husband is a job. It's not a job. It is not a function. It's a calling. And it's a very personal, you could even say a ultimately personal and relational calling. It's a calling to people. It's a calling to people with their own thoughts and with their own needs and with their own individualism and with their own hurts. It's a calling to people. And I'm a pastor. And what that means then is that it's people who live in my heart all the time. Some of you don't realize what that's like. Probably because you've never been a pastor before, but that's right. But you don't realize that I don't just preach a sermon to you. I wonder about you when I'm not. I don't just strategize about how to get the word of God into your life. I grieve over you when I can't. I'm not just a voice. I'm not just a peace academy. I'm not just some kind of divine strategy in your life. I am a living, breathing, hurting, feeling, sometimes, as you know, all too human pastor. See, that's why this scripture moves me. Because you move me. Maybe you noticed I wasn't the first pastor who became vulnerable in front of his church like this. Maybe you noticed I'm not the first pastor who just bared his heart like that. Paul beat me to it. You know, he beat me to it by centuries, right? By thousands of years, he beat me to it. Because that was the main thing that he talked about here. You can't see it in English. It's really confusing to see it in English. But if you see it in Greek, it's super, super easy to see that his main concern here, his main command here, in fact, the only verbal directive here was this: make my joy complete. He's saying, my heart is on the line right now. You have control of my heart's greatest expression of emotion. You have control, to an extent, of my joy. You know, joy's like that. But I think you know that, that joy is always vulnerable to people. In fact, I'll even suggest to you that Joy is only complete when you're with people. You realize that, right? Like, you kind of know that intuitively. Maybe you've never thought that through for yourself exactly. But if you saw some dude sitting on a bench who was sort of cackling by himself, you'd think, or if you are doing anything with all kinds of amazing thankfulness and joy all by yourself, that's really kind of psychotic. You kind of know that intuitively, right? That this is how joy works. It's your first note for today. We only experience the most joy together. That's how it works. If you think back through all of your highest life experiences, what's always there? People are there. Right? When do you joy the most? Together. When do you toast something? Together. When have you experienced all of the highest and best moments of your life? Just think of the past week. You are always together. We have to be together. Think of it. Why is it that when you experience the best news in your life, what do you always do with it? You tweet it, you text it, you talk it. Why do you do that? Because you will not experience that joy to the fullest unless you're with other people in it. You have to see the way they react to it. You have to experience what it does to them. Then your joy is complete. In fact, I'll even suggest to you that practically speaking, lonely joy doesn't really exist. Doesn't. We need to be together. We experience complete joy together. Now, I could go on and on and on about this, but I won't. I think the main thing you have to notice here is that you've got a pastor, a founding pastor who loved his church, who made himself vulnerable to them, and he said, "My heart is in your hands. You can give me joy right now." Do you feel the power of that? Like, does that tug at you a little bit? That you have that much power for each other? Especially when you consider that this guy was in prison. Especially when this guy was probably writing this letter saying, "Hey, rats, shoo." Especially when this guy has got cell bars around him, a prison guard in tow. He's about to die. Maybe. The Philippians knew that. Because Paul had just gotten done telling them that. He had just, seconds ago, gotten done telling them that. Like, "Hey guys, I'm on death row. It's okay though, because it's better to be with Christ. Plus, I think he's going to keep me around a while. I think you guys need me, so don't worry about it too much." Their pastor had just gotten done telling him that. "You can give me joy in jail." And that's the other thing you have to understand. This wasn't some just nameless, faceless guy suffering in jail, like they had never met Paul before, and so he wrote him a letter and he was in jail. This was their pastor. This was their founding pastor. So it's that guy. And say what you want about pastors, but pastors tend to have incredibly deep relationships with their church. Powerful relationships with their church. You know, the guy who ached with you over your friend who didn't know the Lord yet. The guy who cried with you at your brother's funeral. The guy who baptized your kids. You know, that guy. The guy who you told some of your deeper secrets to, and he gave you Christ's forgiveness for that shame. That guy. That's the guy who's talking here. That's the guy who's saying to you, hey, y'all can make, they talk like that over there in the ancient Near East, but y'all can make the bonds on my wrists melt away. You can give me a gift right now that will make these prison bars be nothing but a dream. You can make my joy complete. You can make my present experience of you know what feel like it's actually heaven. You see what he's doing there, right? He is leveraging the pastoral relationship for all it's worth. He is betting the farm. He is taking all the relational equity that he had built up with them, and he says, I want you to do this. I want you to love one another. With the emphasis on one. Be like-minded, he said. He said, have the same love. He said, be one in spirit and of one mind. By the way, not in some kind of weird cultish way. You know, like all of a sudden, all the people in the church start wearing the same clothes and thinking the same things and turning into some kind of weird brainwashed collective. That's not what he's talking about. You know how you get one love and one heart and one mind and one thought? This is how you do it. In humility, he said, value others above yourselves. So you feel way down. It's not that you lose your individualism, right? It's not that you don't have opinions. It's not that you don't wear the clothes you want to wear. It's not that you don't look the, you know, it's that you think honestly and deeply and truly down in your heart. You know, that person probably knows better than me. They could very well be smarter than me. And even if they're not, it's my job to do this, to look out for the interests of others. This is what it takes to stay together. Staying together means losing our interests for the interests of each other. And what Paul did is he bet, he leveraged, he used the whole pastoral relationship to motivate people to do that. Bet the farm on it. Some of you already know why I'm so glad he did. I can think of 1,001 ways that people can get ruined to the gospel that have nothing to do with the pulpit. I can think of 1,001 ways that people's joy is crushed and their spirits can't hear the word, but I can only think of one place it comes from. Comes from the place that Paul talked about here, this place of what we would call selfish ambition and the pursuit of empty glory. That crushes people in the church. I don't even have to cite to you the statistics to show you how prophetic the Apostle Paul is being here about the church. I don't have to do it. I don't have to even tell you stories about cliques or power struggles or something like that to know what makes people walk away from this place. I don't have to do any of it because many of you, many, many, many of you have experienced that. You have found out what it feels like to have ego and pride drive in a church. You know what it's like. You know what it's like to feel the friction that makes it so difficult to hear anything on Sunday. You have sat with some pastors who really thought that his thought was better than their thought, and you know what it did to you inside. It crushed you. You have been in organizations where you experienced how raw it can make you when the only thing that somebody wanted was their way and their thing and what they wanted. In some cases, it made you so raw that when you came to church, the only thing you ended up doing was what? Licking your wounds. And you couldn't hear what was being said. You know what it's like to have somebody just run roughshod over your opinion. How much it hurts when somebody is in it for the microphone or the podium or the position or just to feel busy because they're bored at home. And that's why I hope you'll be as passionate as I am when I bet the whole pastoral relationship on this issue. When I come to you for who I am and how much I've loved this church and how much I've loved you, and I ask you for something from the bottom of my heart. Because that's what I'm about to do, and I don't do that lightly. I do not do that lightly. There are not many mountains that I will die on, but I will die on this one. So I'll use that relationship. Even though I understand somehow, to a degree, the dizzying heights of the pastoral relationship, how sometimes it can pop open a trapdoor in your heart. So that some of you have told things you've never told a lawyer or a doctor or even your parent. Sometimes I catch just how high, just how important the pastoral relationship is to God's people. Like recently I was set at a head table at a wedding and I'm thinking to myself, I totally don't deserve this. Or how when somebody, one of you goes into the hospital and you call me up and you say, Pastor, will you come? I want you to pray with me. I want you to understand that when I haul out the pastoral relationship, I don't do that lightly. When I come to you today and I say, I moved my family across the country. I have agonized for you, so that you can know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know how I have, those of you who have been around. When I come to you as the pastor of this church and as your pastor, I do not do that lightly. So I want you to hear me now. If you have heard Christ here. If you have experienced his love, if you have gotten more confidence about what he means to your life, if you've been comforted by him so that you face a surgery less scared or not at all, if you have come to understand that when you die, it's not death, if you get that better now, if you have come into this church and you have known the Holy Spirit here, if he has lit you up with the gospel, If he has come into your heart and he has pruned things in your life that you didn't even realize were dead, so that no new life sprang from that spot in your heart, if that has happened in this church, and I know that it has, if you have come here and you have known better the tenderness and the compassion of your God, so that you go out into your life with more peace and more confidence. And I call on that now. And on the basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I will never stop preaching into you of the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life with God. And as the pastor of this church and the founding one at that, I beg of you this. I am placing my heart in your hands and I'm begging you. Be of one mind. Be of one spirit. Be of one. Make this a space where selfish ambitions come to die. And where the self comes to be forgotten. Make this a space where you come in and you think, I am the one who needed the most grace of all. Everybody's better than me. Everybody is smarter than me. Make this a space where if somebody asks you to do something at the mic, you think, who, me? Make this a space where you think to yourselves, when somebody taps you on the shoulder for leadership, you think, aren't there like 8 people who are better qualified? Make this a space where you never come because you yearn to be noticed or you yearn to do something important. Make this always a space where you come to notice and where you understand that the most important thing you can do in all the world is love each other. Just love each other. I want this church with all of my heart. And the reason why I want it is the reason you probably already guessed. Because I want this space to be where you can come and nothing gets in your way of just hearing the gospel. Of hearing your Lord say to you, as he always has, you first. So that week after week after week, you can come here and you're going to hear Jesus say, I left behind the authority. I left behind all of my position. I left behind the glory and the power and the position and the status. I left it all behind and I would do it all again. Because the only thing I would never leave behind is you. That's the kind of space we want to have here. A kind of space where that message can be heard. So that we can have Jesus and that we can have Jesus together. And I think you will find over the days and the weeks and the years we do that together, I think you will find that all of the constant rats of life, that all of the constant jails and the death and the guards and the prison cells, and there are so many, that in the face of the gospel that we have together, that they will melt away. And there will be joy here. There will be joy here. Because not only do we have Jesus, but we have Jesus together. And then it won't just be my joy that will be complete. It will be yours too. Let's pray about that. Lord Jesus, the enemy doesn't want us to have joy. He wants us to rot in our prison cells alone and isolated and sad. And Lord, you know that he wants to cut us off from each other. Lord, plant powerful faith in this church today that we understand the gospel and that we create a space here where it can be heard and where we can receive the forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sins together in joy. We pray, Lord, make our joy complete. Amen.